Amen. And so I want to share with you tonight that it's not over until it's over. And so the enemy is always attacking in ways to make us become discouraged and trying to, just continue to disrupt what God is wanting us to do. And he does that in many different ways. And sometimes we get to a place and we feel like, oh, it's over, but it's not over. Not with the Lord. It's not over at all. The Lord has a way of doing things. I want to share with you in Deuteronomy, it says the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And so tonight we're going to be in Acts chapter 12 as we look at this kind of this idea like it's not over until it's over. We need to know that because we have the Lord that we have all that we need. And he knows what is going on. Even when days can get really hard or we go through a very hard time, we're going to go through a story tonight of Acts chapter 12. We're going to see how the enemy loves to attack, but also we're going to see how God provides. But there's some things in here we want to share tonight that we can learn about God's Word. I want to go into Acts chapter 12 tonight. This is we're going to read through these pieces here tonight, and hopefully we can learn and know that no matter what we're going through, no matter what's going on in our life, our situations, our circumstances, that God is there. God has got it. And even in the last hour, sometimes we feel like the ship is sinking, and that's exactly the time that the Lord wants to show up. Could the Lord show up any time earlier? Yes, he can. He would do it. And we would say it would be because of this person or that person. But here's what happens. God sometimes allows it to look like the Titanic, but then he comes in and he saves it. And why he does that, he does it in his own reasons and purposes, but many of those times is for us to acknowledge that God is amazing. And there's some other things in here that we're going to learn tonight. Acts chapter 12, in verse 1, what we see is about the time King Herod violently attacked some belonging to the church. That belonged to the church. And he executed James, his disciple, apostle, John's brother, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter too during the festival of unleavened bread. After the arrest, he put him in prison and assigned four squads of four soldiers each to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. And what was he going to do? He was going to execute him in front of the people. Because the people loved it when they saw John being executed. Wow. So he saw that it had pleased the people. Here we find out that King Herod is attacking. What is he attacking? He is attacking the church. He is attacking the church. Wow. He's attacking the church. I want to remind you of something here tonight. It says that the Apostle James was killed. God did not kill the Apostle James. In the world today, there are a lot of people that blame God for the sins of others. People blame God because Aunt Sally passed away. Carla tonight and her sister Dawn are down in Kentucky in Lexington for a funeral tomorrow for their aunt who is a very strong believer, but her husband had passed away, and so they are down there to support her and the family, and that's where they are tonight. But here it is in this scripture tonight, we read that James, the apostle, had been put to death. And it's because the power of the church, the power of the Lord, the church has come together. Doesn't matter the size of the church, but the church has come together, and it becomes offensive to darkness, and darkness wants to snuff it out. Darkness is using King Herod. King Herod chooses his own. King Herod is the one who killed and had James executed. It was not God. It was not the church. People, and weak-willed, weak spiritually people sometimes want to blame the ministry killed my uncle. The ministry killed these missionaries. No. People did. People do it. With the push of the darkness and the power of darkness, but people choose to do that. King Herod chose to do that, so that sin belongs to him. It's not God. People blame God all the time in the hospital. If it was a God, my uncle would still be living. My aunt would still be living. If there was a God, this would not have happened. I would not have done this. No. Sometimes we choose to do things. Sometimes people choose to do things. And sometimes things happen. We live in a sinful world. And even though there are a lot of believers doing what God wants them to do, sometimes they come across the road and darkness wants to fight. And here we find out James is a good man. He's an apostle. But he is put to death for what he believes. He is put to death because he belongs to the church of God. But we also see here in these scriptures that there were four squads of four soldiers. So King here puts four squads of four soldiers. Help me with my addition here. How many soldiers is that? 16. 16. Wow. I think King Herod's a little threatened here by an old fisherman, a previous fisherman that might be a little tough. Some of them might have said, that's the dude that cut a guy's ear off when they were going to arrest Jesus. That's the guy that don't play. He may have heard that. He may have heard this guy don't play. Regardless, he puts 16 men around this man. 16 men. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So this half of the church over here, just this side of the U, this pie, all the way in the back, 16 to guard one person. That's a lot. You're the guards tonight, all 16 of you. I can put Jeremy right over there in the middle and y'all guard him. And Jeremy might be tough, but you 16 could hold him real good. He might get one lick in, but I'm telling you, 32 fists coming at you real quick. You can't block all that. So King here says, I got him. I got him. Peter, you're next. And you're not getting out. Verse 5, we read, so Peter was kept in prison. He is in prison now, guarded by 16 soldiers in a prison. Here it is. But, it says, but, one little piece here, but the church was praying fervently to God for him. So the church, this little church, was praying for Peter. That's it. That's what their focus was. They were praying for Peter. Wow. They were praying for Peter. When someone tells you that they're praying for you, you need to believe that they're praying for you. Now, if you tell someone you're going to pray for them, you need to pray for them. Don't be a liar. I'll pray for you. And if you are one that forgets, when you turn around and walk away from that person, you pray for them right now, and so you don't forget. And if it means something when you go away, you need to pray for them until you're done praying for them. We go on in this story. What we see here is as this church is praying, this local church is praying. It says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. They're doing that. They're experiencing this piece of scripture. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. That's Psalms 50:15. They're remembering this piece of Psalms, and they're praying what churches are supposed to do. But then we go into verse 6. When Herod was about to bring him out for trial, and you know that was going to be a mock trial. They're real good about those bad trials, aren't they? They say they're going to have an honest trial, but they never do. King Herod had this trial. That very night, Peter was bound with two chains. Not only with 16 soldiers, not only in prison, but they chained him up. With the sentries in front of the door guarded the prison, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared with a light shone in the cell. Striking Peter on the side, he woke him up and said, quick, get up. Get up, and the chains fell off his wrists. Get dressed, the angel told him. And he put on your sandals, and he did. Wrap your cloak around you, and he told him, and follow me. So he went out and he followed, and he did not know what the angel did was really happening, but he thought he was seeing a vision. After they passed the first and second guards, they came to the iron gate and that leads into the city, which opened to them by itself. It opened up by itself. They went outside and passed one street, and suddenly the angel left him. Wow, that's a lot. Oh, wait a minute. We had 16, right? 16 soldiers. Now we got two centuries. Up, 16 plus 2 is what? 18. Not going to let him out. 18. 18 in a jail cell and chain. Here we find out some things happened. I want to remind you, there is nothing like there's nothing like an angel of God. They have power. God gave them power. They do what he tells them to do. This is the part that people won't believe. This is the part that they struggle with. You see, when we want to go in and we want to get an enemy, we want to rescue hostages, what we do is we gather up and we train men and we train women and we train people and they become rangers, they become special forces, and we put them in there, and there's recon groups that go in, and we put all these people, these very skilled soldiers that go in, but they're going in at a risk. As much training as they got, as awesome some of these guys are and how tough some of these guys are, they're still going in a risk. Tripping over a booby trap that will go off in front of them. Going through a part where they can make a mistake and they can get shot, or they can the whole team could end up being killed or wounded, and they can even lose the hostages or whatever they're doing. But I want to remind you, when the angel is sent, angel fears no man. They have the power to do what God's called them to do. And you can almost just read through the lines. That's my man. Now, James, my man, too. But I allow that to happen. But King Herod chose to do that. But I saw that. This one here, it's not going to happen. I've got plans for him. And I don't care if there's 16, 18 men in a wall, chained up. I don't care. Because something's happening. God hears these little prayer, this little church is praying. An angel is working it. God didn't send 20 angels. He didn't send 10. He didn't send a legion of angels. One was efficient. One was enough. One was enough. You see, we struggle with this part because the churches today, we struggle. There's a weakness in some churches. I'm not saying all. I want to remind you that you can go back and read the story of Elijah, or Elijah, when he went off into this cave area and he thought he was the only one. We got to remember, we're not the only Christian church around. We're not the only believers. We're not the only people that pray. God's got a massive, big family all over the world. And if you think you know how to pray, go find a Chinese believer that's living across the wall, but they're persecuted. I'm telling you, they know how to pray. But I want to just share. There are some things. There are three things, real small things here. I want to share quickly that I believe that struggle that churches today we're struggling with, and the weakness of many churches today. Number one is some churches, don't take prayer seriously. They put little time in it, and they shove it in some bulletin and say, here's where we pray. And we are even trying to be better at praying as well when we try to put one in once a month here on Wednesdays. So I think we struggle with not taking prayer seriously. Some churches do. Number two, they don't believe that God answers prayer. So there's this, on the outside, yeah, we pray, but on the inside, we don't really believe. When you open your mouth up to God, God's listening. So whatever you got to say, you make it important because you're speaking to the one that can answer to that. But the churches don't believe that God answers prayer, at least not theirs. There's a lack of faith. They simply just don't believe. They attend with their body. They write a check, an offering, and do those things. But when it comes down to God intervening in their life, they just don't believe he's going to do it. They just don't believe he's going to do it. And I ask you tonight, do you believe that God answers prayer? Do you believe that God just doesn't answer prayer, but he listens to you? Do you believe that? I hope that you do. But some churches don't. A third one is, people don't believe in angels anymore. We don't worship angels, but we need to believe in what God has. God has angels that minister. Scripture tells us that. It says in Hebrews 1:14, I think I used it a couple weeks ago, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So those angels are used. God uses those angels to minister to us. He's ministering to Peter. And he's ministering to the church. The church is praying for this man. I want to share a story to you. It's not too many here remember New Life in 2006. But there was a man I became friends with who was a Korean, and his name was Johnny, and his wife's name was Grace. And when we were down on State Street, someone asked me if Johnny could come and preach a message. Now I want to remind you, sometimes when people have great testimonies, they don't always want to share them in the church. They've shared them all their life. They want to go to their next level. So he came and preached on the love of God. But I knew what his story was. And then 2000, he came about 2003, somewhere in there. We became a relationship. We learned and we became friends. And Johnny had a testimony that he had talked to me about. Some other people told me, man, you know the guy you're talking to, man, is amazing. And so Johnny was a preacher. He was a preacher in from South Korea. And he was over in the Philippines and preaching there and doing his thing. And he would go to villages and he would preach the gospel. And he loved the Lord and he was doing those things. One day when he was going to one of the villages there, a gang had come up, a gang in military uniforms. They came and they captured him. They kidnapped him. And they brought him to their base. And they put him in a makeshift cell. And they put a bodyguard on him. And they had contacted the church that he was a part of and said, if you do not give us X amount of dollars, we're going to execute him. You have X amount of days to do it. And Johnny would say, you know, that was very terrifying. But the more you're in it, the more you have peace with God, because you know who you are and you know who's with you. But on the very last night, they came in and said, your people have not paid. If they do not pay by noon tomorrow, we're going to execute you. And that night, he continued to have the same bodyguard over and over. This big old monster, he said. And he began to share the gospel with the guy that was guarding him. And he led that man to the Lord that night, and that man let him out. And did that then, and they escaped through the jungles, through the Philippines, and they got back to the church. And Johnny took him under his wing, and then Johnny never stopped going to these villages. He took that man with his bodyguard. And in 2006, Johnny writes me a letter, writes me and New Life a letter. I want to share a little bit about that letter with you tonight. This was sent in, he says, it's kind of a little broken, but it is very, he spoke English very well, but his writing is very, it's a very, very special Christmas 2006 exclamation point. And what he does is he sends this thing about Christmas there. He says, in June, we have found a place for a church. He says, I'm 69 years old and God is using me, a piece of a dried up bone for his kingdom at the late age of 69. And June 7th, we found a place and had Bible study. And then we had our church first founding service. Our church name was based on John 1:9, the True Light Baptist Church in Seba, something like that. We had two sessions of services. The first service was Korean speaking. And the second, there was 45 to 50 and Filipinos, 45 to 50 and 20 Koreans as well. And he said, we are working on it. And we had seven baptisms. We had seven baptisms. And he gives me the pictures of the seven people that are being baptized. And he says that one there, his This one female, her brother said, I'm going to shoot you and kill you one day for taking Jesus and following him. The other, there were two others or so that converted over to Jesus from something else. And they have a life, they have people that are looking for them. And so there's much persecution. And this is what he says. And again, the reason we are sharing this report to you, Jimmy, and the church, is to let you know all these things happen because of your prayers and supports. And without your prayers and supports, our mission would never be. When you think that your prayers don't matter, they do. And as a church, this church in Acts was praying for Peter. God heard it, and God sent an angel. And the angel went in and unlocked the chains, woke Peter up, put everybody else to sleep, and they walked right out. Didn't even have to touch the gate. The angel just did his thing. They walked right out. They went down a couple streets, one street, and then all of a sudden the angel said, bye, gotta go. Let's see what happens. Verse 11. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's grasp and from all that the Jewish people expected. Darkness was expecting a party the next day. As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many have assembled and were praying. He knocked at the door of the outer gate, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer, and she recognized Peter's voice, and because of her joy, she didn't even open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the outer gate. You're out of your mind, they told her. You're out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was true. They said, it's his angel. Peter, however, kept on knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were amazed, motioning to them, shh, his hand had to be silent. He described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Tell these things to James and the other brothers, he said. And he left and he went to another place. Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? That's a good piece. And what we see here now is the church was praying. We tend to do as Peter does, don't we? When something is great, we share it. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share it. That's a testimony. We're supposed to share it. And the first thing you do is you want to share it with people that you trust. People that are like-minded. And what he does is he goes back to the church. He goes back to this place where Rhoda is one of these young believers. But the elders in that place is there. They opened up the gate. And finally he comes in, you know, just a little bit. And he shares, this is what happened. I want you to tell the others. I want you to tell the others. And he doesn't stay with them long. But he shares the testimony. And that's what he does. But the church struggled with it in the beginning. They struggled with it. You're out of your mind, Rhoda. You're out of your mind. He's in prison. Here's what the church, we struggle because we forget that when we're praying, to look for God to answer. We should be excited. And they were excited. They were ecstatic. But we shouldn't be surprised when God answers a prayer that we've been praying. Should we? No. Because that's what my God does. He answers prayers. And if he's not answering at that moment, I know he's heard it. They didn't go 5 feet and land down. He heard it. He heard it. He heard it. Wow. Peter's feeling pretty good right now. There is nothing like being a part when God is moving in your world. There's nothing like when your back is against the wall and you don't see a way out, and God comes in and makes a way. There's nothing like it. Where you can't do anything, yet God does everything. Testimony. I was in jail. I was locked up. I was guarded by 16 soldiers. I'm chained up. I get woke up. One, you get woke up. Not by a person, not by a sign, but by an angel of God. That enough is a testimony right there. I was woken up by an angel of God. Wow. Number two, the angel spoke and gave him instruction. What to do? Three, he saw chains come off his hands. What? Seriously, you don't get out of a chain, you don't get out of custody unless you have keys. Or you got power to make them come off. That's it. You gotta physically do something to them to come up. You have to have a keys. You have to have bolt cutters, you have to have something. God just uses a word. God just uses an angel and they come off. And then when they're leaving, the gate comes right open. You know what I like about it though? Sometimes God will walk with you a little bit. You know what I love about a lot of this? Is the one part where they went outside together. Just being in the presence of one of God's angels, just being in the presence of God moving. It is just an amazing thing, no matter what he's doing. It is an amazing thing. Some of us may have experienced something like that. Others may have not. But I want to affirm to you that angels are here. They exist. And God is still using them. God is still using them. Verse 18. At daylight, oh my, now God's already done his business. They're expecting an execution. At daylight, there was a great commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod, King Herod had searched and did not find him, he interrogated the guards and ordered their execution. Not 16, but 18. He had the two sentries in the front. They were all guarding. Because here it is. You had 16 in the inside that's guarding the prisoner, but you also had two guards guarding the gate of the prison. 18 going down. Huh. And he did not find them, and he interrogated them and ordered their execution. Then Herod went down to Judea and Caesarea and stayed there for a while. So what we do, we see here that 16 plus 2 is 18. 18 are executed. Now what we find out here sometimes is I've got a couple more minutes here. But what we're going to find out, sometimes God has business that you don't get to know about. It's not about you. It's about him. Because really, we think a lot of the stories and stuff is about us. That story about Peter, that is a great testimony. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. But for history and knowledge and knowing and seeing how amazing and who's really at the top, not Peter, not the church, but it is God. Here's what we see. Herod had been very angry with the people of Syria and Sidon. Together, they presented themselves before him after winning over Blastus, who was in charge of the king's bedroom. They asked for peace because their country was supplied with food from the king's country. On an appointed day, dressed in royal robes and seated on the throne, Herod delivered a speech to them, to the people there. The assembly people began to shout, "It's the voice of a God and not a man." Man, Herod, you're a God. You're not a man, you're a God. And at once the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. Wow, what an ending. Not only those soldiers have, was executed. Now King himself, who thinks he's beyond anybody or anything, they lifted him up and said, you're a god. This is not about anything about the church. This is nothing about Peter. This is nothing about anybody else. This is the man who said, oh yeah, he loved the praises and he didn't give anything to God. And he turns around, the people said, you're a god. He took it in. I must be. You see, sometimes God has visitations with people that has nothing to do with the church. It's about him. And he says, I don't like that. And God has all authority to clean, do whatever he wants to do. We got to quit thinking that we are in charge. We're not in charge. He's in charge. This man knew better. And this man thought he was great and awesome. And an angel there. Another thing, an angel. The problem is, we think angels are only doing two things. We think they're up in heaven and they're praising God, and the other angels are either taking people when they die, they're going to heaven. They're escorts. They're either taking them to heaven or they're going to hell. The scripture says that God is, these angels are ministering angels, but they also, we see they're messengers. They do a lot of things. And we don't know everything. Here, we get a glimpse of what happened. Man thinks he's God. He takes it. And God says, I don't think so. The angel struck him down. Now, some theologians believe, oh, he got a disease and it waited a long time or whatever. I just read the scriptures, studied a little bit. Not that he didn't get glory. He was eaten by worms and he died. May it took a little time, may not, but whatever it is, the angel struck him. He got something he wasn't going to get rid of. And in the end, basically, he just died. And verse 24, but the word of God flourished and multiplied. As much as they wanted to take it out, they did that. After they had completed their mission, their relief mission. You don't see that too often, but this is a specific mission, a relief mission. Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem, taking along John, who was called Mark. Basically, what we're seeing here is the ministry that God has called, the church that Jesus is building, is continuing to go regardless of what darkness is doing and who they're persecuting and who they're executing. It doesn't matter. What is the key of this whole story? What is the key of this whole story? But the church was praying fervently, praying for Peter. I have a tendency to believe exactly what Johnny Yu was saying in this letter. This Johnny Yu is no longer with us. He's with the Lord today. His wife, Grace, is with the Lord today too. But he wrote us a letter and said, we can't do what we're doing except by your prayers. Today we have prayer. We have people that are praying for us all across the country. When I hear one of our prayer warriors pass away, it bothers me because I'm thinking we have another person that's not praying for us. Such as Ruth, who used to pray for me at 2 o'clock every morning, 2 o'clock every morning when we first started. I learned what a prayer warrior does through her. Amazing woman. I'll never forget her. Most of you don't know her, but I'll never forget her. There's a few that remember her. Ron, out of California, would send me letters and say, Jimmy, praying for you. Hard, you know, he's hard. He's a hard guy. Anytime you go to eat with this guy or whatever, he picks out, he goes, I'm going to witness to that person before I leave, and I'm going to witness to that person before I leave. And by golly gee, he went over and shared the gospel with that person and that other person he shared the gospel with. I asked him one time, he said, I'm in San Francisco. I'm like, man, what you doing in San Francisco? What other place? He said, what other place to be a light in such a dark place? There's got to be a lot of lost people there. So I'm going there. And then Rob would say, and then we'd get an envelope in the mail. Been praying for you. Here's $600 for your next revival. Sometimes it'd be twice a year. Praying for you guys. Here's $600 for the next revival. Miss a year, here's the $600 for another revival. And you know, he wrote many books. And we're in them. There's this little church in Huntington. I can't believe all that they do. But I can't believe that they're doing that without people praying for them. And I don't even think they know all the people that pray for them. And Ron has passed on into glory, and I miss him. And then the man that came here and did a revival, Ron did a revival for us down on the street, but Dan and Lady Jane, Dan would be here. And he was a little guy, before you called him Special Forces or Navy SEALs, they were called frogmen. And frogmen was those guys way back when, and they would, anyway. And he would be one of my greatest encouragers in my life. Never said a negative word. He said, "Brother, I want to tell you, don't forget what God's doing now. Don't forget what God's doing up there. You shouldn't be doing that. It don't make no sense. But I want to tell you, all I do is see God working. That's all I do is see God working. We need more like that. We need more like that. Always encouraging." He said, "I want to send you something. I want to send you something." And then the last few years, they were partnering up a little bit. And my buddy ended up, my mentor ended up passing away, going to glory, going on to glory. So we lost another prayer warrior. So we're losing some prayer warriors. But I cannot believe that we haven't got some that's already still praying for us. Folks, we are not doing a great job because we are awesome. We do what we do because we serve the Heavenly Father. And this church prays. And I wish we were better partners with Johnny U back in the day. We just were so we were so young and still learning. This is why we're trying to pray for Pastor Joseph more and we should do it more. Because it takes prayer, such as this church was praying. But we shouldn't be surprised when God does amazing things. We just should be thanksgiving, giving praise for doing all that He's doing. He's not done. It makes no sense what God is doing here. I'm ecstatic and excited for what God is planning to do with Trevor and Tabitha for what they gave up. They'll never give up as much more than what God will give them. And they're only being able to do it because, one, it's inspired in them by the Holy Spirit and they're taking that step of faith, but also knowing that there are people praying for them. The same thing for Phil and Ashley. Going into one of the hardest things in ministry ever is to start a church ever. But I know this. You're not going into areas that God hasn't already been. And you're not going to make it without prayer. I give Phil an assignment to find 100 prayer partners. Don't give up on it. You will get 100. And keep them informed because you're going to need 100 and plus prayer partners. Folks, we don't stop praying because God is still working. Angels are in the midst. Sometimes I wonder if they're just waiting for God to say, "I'm not hearing anything." So they just sit aside. And it says the church was praying, fervently praying for Peter. The impossible peace. Back against the wall. It's not over until it's over. And God says, "Tonight, you all might be giving up, but you're praying, you're doing what you can. But tonight, it's almost like God says, I'm going to show up. And ain't no human being going to stop God. Ain't no army stop God. Ain't no government stops God. God owns everything." Folks, do you believe that God fed a nation from heaven with food called manna? Only God can do that. I want to challenge you tonight to think about your prayer life. Is it legit? Is it real? When you speak, do you believe that God is hearing? Or are you just going through the motions? Are you just saying words just to "I got my prayer in today"? Or do you believe, even when you ask God to bless that food, you're inviting Him in to your conversations and to your meal and the time that you have with others. Even your small prayers, you think they're small. Lord, be with my child today. They're going to school. Keep them safe. You don't know what's in front of that day. That's why prayer is really difficult to do. Because you're praying to God. You're talking to God. And maybe you need to get more serious with your prayer life, whatever it may be. My plea for you is believe more that God is hearing your prayers, that God is wanting to be a part of your life, and God answers prayer. And we are supposed to be like Peter and go out and tell the people that know, that would believe it, and they believed it, and they share it, and we share those testimonies. Because, folks, there's not enough testimony being shared around here. Father, we're getting ready to move into this time of prayer time. So what we're talking about tonight. I want to pray tonight, Lord, that you would just be with each one of us, Lord. That your scripture says when we take communion, before we take communion, we should examine ourselves. I pray, Father, tonight that we would examine ourselves in our prayer life and what our prayer life looks like. And I pray, Father, tonight your will would be done in each one of our lives. In Christ's name, amen. All right, let's go ahead and stand.